Alleluia, 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 alleluia. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus entered a village where a woman named Martha welcomed him. She had a sister named Mary who sat beside the Lord at his feast, at his feet, listening to him speak. Martha, burdened with much serving, came to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me by myself to do the serving? Tell her to help me." But the Lord said in reply, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and worried about many things. There is need for only one thing, and Mary has chosen the better part, and it shall not be taken away from her." The Gospel of the Lord. This Gospel comes from the book of Luke, found only in Luke. And of course, Bethany is especially remarkable for the 11th chapter of the Gospel of John, where Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. Only found in John's Gospel, and the greatest miracle of all the miracles that Jesus performed in his public life, and yet is recorded only in the Gospel of John. Now that's another. Why that happens is a matter of discussion at another time. But it does show us that Bethany, by the way, is on the Mount of Olives. It's in Jerusalem. In the time of Jesus, it was a separate village on the edge of Jerusalem. Now it's incorporated into the greater Jerusalem. And there's a church there dedicated to St. Martha. In this incident, which appears only in Luke's Gospel, we have Martha and Mary. What's interesting here is that she's always named first, Martha and Mary and Lazarus. Now, why the woman should be named first in a patriarchal Semitic culture is remarkable. Why Lazarus, the man of the house, should be named first. But no, Martha is always named first, which gives us the impression she's the elder of the two and she's a strong-minded person. She's clearly in charge of the household. And now it became a place for Jesus to visit, a home away from home, a family. We all got friends like that, places where we feel comfortable, where we can go. And Jesus, on his way to his crucifixion, stops there on his way to Jerusalem for the last time. In this incident, recorded in Luke's Gospel, we have Martha and Mary, and Martha is doing all the serving, and she is disturbed because her sister Mary doesn't help her, and her sister Mary is listening to Jesus. And Jesus says she has chosen the better part. Now, in a trivial way, this has been interpreted in the past to say Mary was the one who entered the convent and went to prayer. Martha was the one who did the household work. That's a foolish and superficial understanding of this. The strength of this teaching here has to be found in the fact that Mary listens. She is the one that listens. Jesus doesn't need all the serving that Martha wants to do. Jesus needs somebody to listen to him. We have no idea what was said, but it's very clear that Mary is the one who listens. And listening becomes the teaching of this event in the life of Jesus. We're not very good at listening. You know, most people that come to see me at the parish center want to talk to a priest. They're not looking for my wisdom. They're looking for my time. They're not looking to solve the problem. They're looking for someone to share the problem. Solving the problem is something comes later. Sharing the problem is the call of the gospel. And in this case, Mary is the one who listens. It's a teaching for us about listening. Not just listening to words, but listening with the heart. In the 15th chapter of Luke's gospel, we have the prodigal son. Remember the prodigal son? He went off and he squandered everything. And then he came back. Rembrandt, in his famous painting of the return of the prodigal son, has the old man, the father, and he's blind. But the parable says, Jesus sees his son when he is far off and he runs out to meet him. So they said to Rembrandt, if he's blind, how could he see him? And he said he saw him with his heart. You can see things with the heart, you can't see with the eyes. That's what listening means. So Mary saw Jesus with the heart, and therefore she listened. Now, that's a very important teaching, especially in families. Listen to the elderly. Listen with the heart now. Get this sense of a loneliness or a struggle or a conflict, or just a need for somebody to listen, to tell a story. Or a young person who is searching, confused, conflicted, challenging, how to listen to the young person searching, asking questions, maybe questions we don't like. How do we listen to one another and see the gift that's in listening? Given our culture at the moment, I mean, it's embarrassing at times, you know. Either you like Trump or you don't like Trump. If you like him, your mind is gone. You're insane. If you don't like him, then maybe you're enlightened. Who knows? Who listens to anyone anymore? Let me tell you about this. It's the last thing I'll say. Some while back, I had dinner with this family. I think I might have mentioned this. There were three adult children sitting here next to me. I'm sitting here. Mom is sitting across and Dad's here. We're having a wonderful dinner. It's just marvelous. And somebody brings up Trump. And all of a sudden, these three young people who like Bernie Sanders kind of criticize Trump. And the father is furious. And he's a big Trump supporter. And he's sitting over here. And they're arguing. And he said, well, you don't even pay taxes. How would you know about it? Oh, God. And I'm refereeing this contest here. It's embarrassing. I said, why don't we talk about Jesus? Maybe we can agree there. How do we listen to one another? How do you listen to somebody who differs with you? How do you respect somebody's opinion that disagrees? I mean, that's the teaching of this here, to say, journey into this day, my friends, journey into this day in a listening posture, where God will speak to you through those who contest you, through those who don't agree with you, those who have new ideas that you don't expect. Listen, that's become Mary, not Martha, today. Amen. We pause now for a moment of prayer.